The Monday Play.
Hedda Gabler by Henrik Ibsen. Translated from the Norwegian by Michael Mayer. With Hannah Gordon as Hedda, Bill Patterson as George Tessman, Bill Simpson as Judge Brack, and Peter Kelly as Eilert Lofborg. Hedda Gabler.
Well, fancy that. They're not up yet.
What did I tell you, miss? The boat didn't get in till midnight. And when they did turn up... Oh, Jesus, miss, you should have seen all the things Madam made me unpack before she'd go to bed.
Well, let them have a good lie-in. But let's have some nice fresh air waiting for them when they do come down.
And blessed if there's a square inch left to put anything. I'll have to let these flowers you brought lie here, miss.
Well, Bertha, dear, so now you have a new mistress. Heaven knows it nearly broke my heart to have to part with you.
And what about me, Miss Juju? How do you suppose I felt after all the happy years I've spent with you and Miss Rena?
We must accept it bravely, Bertha. It was the only way. George needs you to take care of him. He can never manage without you. You've looked after him ever since he was a tiny boy.
Oh, but Miss Juju, I can't help thinking about Miss Rena lying there all helpless, poor dear. And that new girl, she'll never learn the proper way to handle an invalid.
Oh, I'll manage to train her. I'll do most of the work myself, you know. You needn't worry about my poor sister, Bertha, dear.
Ah, but Miss Judy, there's another thing. I'm frightened Madam may not find me suitable.
Oh, nonsense, Bertha. There may be one or two little things to begin with.
She's a real lady. Wants everything just so.
Of course she does. General Gabler's daughter. Think of what she was accustomed to when the General was alive. You remember how we used to see her out riding with her father in that long black skirt with a feather in her hat.
Oh, yes, miss. As if I could forget. But, Lord, I never dreamed I'd live to see a match between her and Master Georgie.
Neither did I. Oh, by the way, Bertha... From now on, you must stop calling him Master Georgie. You must say Dr. Tessman.
Is it true, then, miss?
Indeed it is. Oh, just fancy, Bertha, some foreigners had made him a doctor. It happened while they were away. I had no idea till he told me when they got off the boat.
I never thought he'd go in for hospital work, though.
Oh, no, he's not that kind of a doctor. In any case, you may soon have to address him by an even grander title.
What might that be, miss?
Oh, if you only knew. Dear God, if only poor Joachim could rise out of his grave and see what his little son has grown into. But, Bertha, why have you done this, taking the chintz covers off all the furniture?
Madam said I was to. Can't stand chintz covers on chairs, she said.
But surely they're not going to use this room as a parlour.
So I gathered, miss, from what Madam said. He didn't say anything. The doctor.
Good morning. Good morning, George.
Auntie Juju. Dear Auntie Juju. Oh, you've come all the way out here and so early.
Well, I had to make sure you'd settled in comfortably.
Oh, but you can't have had a proper night's sleep.
Oh, never mind that.
Now, well, we're so sorry we couldn't give you a lift, but you saw how it was. Hedda had so much luggage, and she insisted on having it all with her.
Yes, I've never seen so much luggage.
Will I go and ask Madam if there's anything I can lend her a hand with?
Thank you, Bertha. No, you needn't bother. She says that if she wants you for anything, she'll ring.
Oh, very good.
Oh, hey, Bertha, take this bag, will you?
I'll put it in the attic.
Just fancy, Auntie Juju, I filled that whole bag with notes from a book. You know, it's really incredible what I've managed to find rooting through those old archives. By Jove, wonderful old things no one even knew existed.
I'm sure you didn't waste a single moment of your honeymoon, George, dear.
No, I think I can truthfully claim that. Oh, but Auntie Juju, take your hat off. Here. Here, let me untie it for you.
Oh, dear. It's just as if you were still living at home with us.
I say, what a splendid new hat.
Well, I bought it for Hedda's sake.
For Hedda's sake?
So that Hedda needn't be ashamed of me in case we should ever go for a walk together.
You still think of everything, don't you, Auntie Juju?
Oh, George, it's so wonderful to have you back and be able to see you with my own eyes again. poor dear Joachim's own son.
What about me? It's wonderful for me to see you again, Auntie Juju. You've been a mother to me. And a father, too.
You'll always keep a soft spot in your heart for your old aunties, won't you, George, dear?
I suppose Auntie Rena's no better, eh?
Alas, no. I'm afraid she'll never get better, poor soul. She's lying there, just as she has for all these years. Please God, I may be allowed to keep her for a little longer. If I lost her, I don't know what I'd do. Especially now, I haven't you to look after.
There, there, there.
Oh, but George, fancy you being a married man. And to think, it's you who've won Hedda Gabler. The beautiful Hedda Gabler, fancy. She was always so surrounded by admirers.
Yes, I suppose there are quite a few people in this town who wouldn't mind being in my shoes, eh?
And what a honeymoon. 5 months? Nearly six?
Well, I've done a lot of work, you know. All those archives to go through. And I've had to read lots of books.
Oh, yes, dear, of course. But tell me, George, haven't you any extra little piece of news to give me?
You mean arising out of the honeymoon?
Yes.
No. I don't think there's anything I didn't let you know in my letters. And my doctorate, of course, but I told you about that last night, didn't I?
Yes, yes, I didn't mean that kind of thing. I was just wondering, are you expecting?
Expecting what?
Oh, come on, George. I'm your old auntie.
Well, actually, yes, I am expecting something.
I knew it.
You'll be happy to learn that before very long, I expect to become a professor.
Professor?
I think I may say that the matter has been decided. But, Auntie Juju, you knew about this.
Yes, of course, I've forgotten. But we were talking about your honeymoon. It must have cost a dreadful amount of money, George.
Oh, well, you know, that big research grant I got helped a good deal.
How on earth did you manage to make it do for two?
Well, to tell the truth, it was a bit tricky, eh?
Especially when I was travelling with a lady. A little bird tells me that makes things very much more expensive.
Well, yes, of course, it does make things a little more expensive, but Hedda has to do things in style, Auntie Juju. I mean, she has to. Anything less grand wouldn't have suited her.
No, no, I suppose not. A honeymoon abroad seems to be the vogue nowadays. And tell me, have you had time to look round the house?
You bet. I've been up since the crack of dawn.
Well, what do you think of it?
Splendid. Absolutely splendid.
Oh.
You know, I'm so happy for Hedda's sake that we've managed to get this house. Before we became engaged, she often used to say that this was the only house in town she felt she could really live in. It used to belong to Mrs. Falk. You know, the Prime Minister's widow.
Fancy that. And what a stroke of luck it happened to come into the market, just as you'd left on your honeymoon.
Yes, Auntie Juju, we've certainly had all the luck with us. Eh?
George, dear, the expense. It's going to make a dreadful hole in your pocket, all this.
Yes, yes, I suppose it will, won't it?
Oh, George, really.
How much do you think it will cost? Roughly, I mean. Eh?
I can't possibly say till I've seen the bills.
Well, luckily Judge Brack's managed to get it on very favourable terms. He wrote and told Hedda, so...
Don't you worry, George, dear. Anyway, I've stood security for all the furniture and carpets.
Security? But dear sweet Auntie Juju, how could you possibly stand security?
I arranged a mortgage and our annuity.
What? On your annuity? And Auntie Rena's?
Yes. Well, I couldn't think of any other way.
Auntie Juju, have you gone completely out of your mind? That annuity is all that you and Auntie Rena have.
All right. There's no need to get so excited about it. It's a pure formality, you know. Judge Brack told me so. He was so kind as to arrange it for me. A pure formality, those were his very words.
Oh, I dare say, all the same.
Anyway, you'll have a salary of your own now. And good heavens, even if we did have to fork out a little tightener belt for a week or two, why, we'd be happy to do so for your sake.
Oh, Auntie Juju, will you never stop sacrificing yourself for me?
What else have I to live for but to smooth your road a little, my dear boy? You've never had any mother or father to turn to, and now at last we've achieved our goal. I won't deny we've had our little difficulties now and then. But now, thank the good Lord, George dear, all your worries are past.
Yes. It's wonderful, really, how everything's gone just right for me.
Yes. And the enemies who tried to bar your way have been struck down. They've been made to bite the dust. The man who was your most dangerous rival has had the mightiest fall. Now he's lying there in the pit he's dug for himself. Poor, misguided creature.
Have you heard any news of Aylett since I went away?
Only that he's said to have published a new book.
What? Aylett Lovborg? You mean just recently, eh?
So I say. I don't imagine it'll be of any value, do you? When your new book comes out, that'll be another story. What's it going to be about?
The domestic industries of Brabant in the Middle Ages.
Oh, George, the things you know about.
Mind you, it may be some time before I actually get down to writing it. I've made these very extensive notes, and I've got to file and index them first.
Oh, yes, making notes, filing and indexing. You've always been wonderful at that. Poor dear Joachim was just the same.
I'm looking forward so much to getting down to that. Especially now I've a home of my own to work in.
And above all, now that you have the girl you set your heart on, George, dear.
Oh, yes, Auntie Juju, yes. Hedda's the loveliest thing of all. Whoosh! I think I hear her coming, eh?
Good morning, Hedda, dear. Good morning.
Good morning, dear Miss Tessman. What an early hour to call. So kind of you.
And has the young bride slept well in her new home?
Oh, thank you, yes, passably well.
Oh, passably. Oh, I say, Hedda, that's good. When I jumped out of bed, you were sleeping like a top.
Yes, fortunately. One has to accustom oneself to anything new, Miss Tessman. It takes time. Oh, that maid's left the French windows open. This room's flooded with sun.
Oh, let me close them.
No, don't do that. Tessman, dear, draw the curtains. This light's blinding.
Yes, 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 dear. There you are, Hedda. Now you've got shade and fresh air.
This room needs fresh air. All these flowers. But, my dear Miss Tessman, won't you take a seat?
Oh, no, really not, thank you. I just wanted to make sure you have everything you need. I must see about getting back home. My poor dear sister will be waiting for me.
Be sure to give her my love, won't you? Tell her I'll run over and see her later today.
Oh, yes, I'll tell her that. Oh, George, I almost forgot. I brought you something.
What's that, Auntie Juju, eh?
Oh, open and see, dear boy.
Oh, good heavens, Auntie Juju, you've kept them.
Of course.
Hedda, this is really very touching, eh?
What is it, Tessman?
My old shoes. My slippers, Hedda.
Oh, them. I remember you kept talking about them on our honeymoon.
Yes, I missed them dreadfully. Oh, here, Hedda, have a look.
Thanks, I won't bother.
Oh, fancy, Hedda. Auntie Rena's embroidered them for me, despite her being so ill. Oh, you can't imagine what memories they have for me.
Not for me.
No, Hedda's right there, George.
Yes, but I thought now that she's one of the family...
Tessman, we really can't go on keeping this maid.
Not keep after.
What makes you say that, dear? Eh?
Look at this. She's left her old hat lying on the chair.
But Hedda...
Supposing someone came in and saw it.
But Hedda, that's Auntie Juju's hat.
Oh. Indeed, it is mine. And it doesn't happen to be old, Hedda, dear.
I didn't look at it very closely, Miss Tessman.
As a matter of fact, it's the first time I've worn it. As the good Lord is my witness.
It's very pretty, too. Really smart.
Oh, I'm afraid it's nothing much, really. My parasol. Yeah, there it is. This is mine, too, not Bertha's.
A new hat and a new parasol. I see you had a fancy that.
Very pretty and charming.
Yes, isn't it, eh? But Auntie Juju, take a good look at Hedda before you go. Isn't she pretty and charming?
Dear boy, there's nothing new in that. It has been a beauty ever since the day she was born.
Yes, but have you noticed how strong and healthy she's looking? And how she's filled out since she went away?
Filled out? Oh, can't we forget it?
Yes, Auntie Judy, you can't see it so clearly with that dress on, but I've got good reason to know.
She hadn't good reason to know anything.
It must have been the mountain air up there in the Tyrol.
I'm exactly the same as when I went away.
You keep on saying so, but you're not. I'm right, haven't I, Auntie Judy?
Oh, she's beautiful. Beautiful. Hedda is beautiful. God bless and keep her. For George's sake. Let me go, please. I shall come and see you both every day.
Yes, Auntie Juju, please do. Eh?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.
Oh. Auntie Juju was behaving rather oddly, I thought, didn't you? Almost as though she was in church or something. I wonder what came over her. Any idea?
I hardly know her. Does she often act like that?
Not to the extent she did today.
Do you think she was hurt by what I said about the hat?
Oh, no, I don't think so. A little at first, perhaps.
But what a thing to do, throw her hat down in someone's drawing room. People don't do such things.
I'm sure Auntie Juju doesn't do it very often.
Oh, well, I'll make it up with her.
Oh, Hedda, would you?
When you see them this afternoon, invite her to come out here this evening.
You bet I will. And I say, there's another thing which would please her enormously.
Oh?
If you could bring yourself to call her Auntie Juju. Oh. For my sake, Hedda, eh?
No, really, Tessman, you mustn't ask me to do that. I've told you so once before. I'll try to call her Aunt Juliana. That's as far as I'll go.
I say, Hedda, is there nothing wrong, eh?
I'm just looking at my old piano. Doesn't really go with all this.
Well, as soon as I start getting my salary, we'll see about changing it.
Oh, no, don't let's change it. I don't want to part with it. Now we can move it into that little room and get another one for in here.
Yes. Yes, we might do that.
These flowers weren't here when we arrived last night.
I expect Auntie Juju brought them.
Here's a card. We'll come back later today. Guess who it's from?
No idea. Who? Eh?
Says Mrs. Elfstead.
No, really? Mrs. Elfstead? She used to be Miss Reesing, didn't she?
Yeah, she was the one with that irritating hair that she was always showing off. I hear she used to be an old flame of yours.
Oh, that didn't last long. Anyway, that was before I got to know you, Hedda. By Jove, fancy her being in town.
Strange she should call. I only knew her at school.
Yes, well, I haven't seen her for, heaven knows how long. I don't know how she manages to stick it out up there in the north, eh?
Tell me, Tessman, doesn't he live somewhere up in those parts? Aylott Lerfborg?
Yes, that's right, so he does.
She's here again, madam. The lady who came and left the flowers. The one you're holding.
Oh, is she? Well, show her in.
Mrs. Elfstead.
Dear Mrs. Elfstead, good morning. How delightful to see you again after all this time.
Yes, it's many years since we met.
And since we met, eh?
Thank you for your lovely flowers.
I wanted to come yesterday afternoon, but they told me you were away.
You've only just arrived in town, then, eh?
I got here yesterday around midday. I became almost desperate when I heard you weren't here.
Desperate? Why?
My dear Mrs. Reesing, at Elfstead...
There's nothing wrong, I hope.
Yes, there is, and I don't know anyone else here whom I can turn to.
Well, tell
us. Has something happened at home?
Yes. That is, yes and no. Oh, I do hope you won't misunderstand
me. Then you'd better tell us the whole story, Mrs. Elfstead.
That's why you've come, eh?
Yes, it is. Well, then, in case you don't already know, Aylott Lerfborg is in town.
Lerfborg? Here?
Aylott? Back in town? Fancy, Hedda, did you hear that?
Yes, of course I heard.
He's been here a week. A whole week in this city, alone, with all those dreadful people.
But, my dear Mrs. Elfstead, what concern is he of yours?
He's been tutoring the children.
Your children?
My husband's. I have none.
Oh, you mean your stepchildren?
Yes.
But was he sufficiently... I don't know how to put it, but was he sufficiently regular in his habits to be suited to such a post? Eh?
For the past 2 to 3 years, he's been living irreproachably.
You don't say. Hedda, do you hear that?
I hear. Quite irreproachably, I assure you. In every respect. All the same, in this big city with money in his pockets, I'm so dreadfully frightened something may happen to him.
But why didn't he stay up there with you and your husband?
Once his book had come out, he became restless.
Oh, yes. Yes, Andy Juju says he's brought out a new book.
Yes, a big new book about the history of civilization. A kind of general survey. It came out a fortnight ago. Everyone's been buying it and reading it. It's created a tremendous stir.
Has it really? Must be something he's dug up, then.
You mean from the old days?
Yes.
No, he's written it all since he came to live with us.
Well, that's splendid news, Hedda. Fancy that.
Yes, if only he can go on like this.
Have you met him since you came here?
No, not yet. I had such dreadful difficulty finding his address. But this morning, I managed to track him down at last.
I must say I find it a little strange that your husband...
My husband? What do you mean?
That he should send you all the way down here on an errand of this kind. I'm surprised he didn't come himself to keep an eye on his friend.
Oh, no, no. My husband hasn't the time. Besides, I wanted to do some shopping here.
Ah, well, that's different.
Please, Mr. Tessman, I beg you, be kind to Eilert Lovborg if he comes here. I'm sure he will. I mean, you used to be such good friends in the old days. And you're both studying the same subject as far as I can understand. You're in the same field, aren't you?
Well, we used to be, anyway.
Yes, so I beg you earnestly, do please, please keep an eye on him. Oh, Mr. Tessman, do promise me you will.
I'll do everything for Eilert that lies in my power. You can rely on that.
Oh, how good and kind you are. Thank you, thank you, thank you. My husband's so fond of him, you see.
You'd better send him a note, Tessman. He may not come to you of his own accord.
Yes, that'd probably be the best plan, Hedda, eh?
The sooner the better. Why not do it now?
Oh, yes, if only you would.
I'll do it this very moment. Do you have his address, Mrs. Elston?
Yes. Here.
Good, good, right. Well, I'll go inside and, where are my slippers? Oh, yes, here.
Try to sound friendly. Make it a nice, long letter.
Right, I will.
Please, don't say anything about my having seen you.
Oh, good heavens, no, of course not. Eh?
Well, now we've killed 2 birds with 1 stone.
What do you mean?
Well, didn't you realize I wanted to get him out of the room?
So that he could write the letter?
And so that I could talk to you alone.
About this?
Yes, about this.
Oh, but there's nothing more to tell, Mrs. Tessman. Really, there isn't.
Oh, yes, there is. There's a lot more. I can see that. Come along. Let's sit down and have a little chat. Oh,
really, Mrs. Tessman, I think I ought to be going now.
There's no hurry.
Well, how are things at home?
I'd rather not speak about that.
But, my dear, you can tell me. Good heavens, we were at school together.
Yes, but you were a year senior to me. Oh, I used to be terribly frightened of you in those days.
Frightened of me?
Yes, terribly frightened. Whenever you met me on the staircase, you used to pull my hair.
No, did I?
Yes. And once you said you'd burn it all off.
That was only in fun.
Yes, but I was so silly in those days. And then afterwards, I mean, we've drifted so far apart, our backgrounds were so different.
Well, now we must try to drift together again. Now listen, when we were at school, we used to call each other by our Christian names.
No, I'm sure you're mistaken.
I'm sure I'm not. I remember it quite clearly. Let's tell each other our secrets as we used to in the old days. Now, you must call me Hedda.
You're so kind. I'm not used to people being so nice to me.
No. And I shall call you Tora, the way I used to.
My name is Thea.
Yes, of course, I meant Thea. So, you're not used to kindness, Thea? In your own home?
Oh, if only I had a home. But I haven't. I've never had one.
I thought that was it.
Yes.
I can't remember exactly, but didn't you first go to Mr. Elfsteller's housekeeper?
Governess, actually. But his wife, at the time, I mean, she was an invalid and had to spend most of her time in bed, so I had to look after the house, too.
But in the end, you became mistress of the house.
Yes, I did.
Let me see. Roughly how long ago was that?
When I got married, you mean?
Yes.
About 5 years?
Yes. It must be about that.
Oh, those 5 years. Especially the last two or three. Oh, Mrs. Tessman, if you only knew...
Mrs. Tessman? Oh, dear.
I'm sorry, I'll try to remember. Yes, if you had any idea...
Eilert Lovborg's been up there as well for about 3 years, hasn't he?
Eilert Lovborg? Yes, he has.
Did you know him before, when you were here?
No, not really. That is, I knew him by name, of course.
But up there, he used to visit you?
Yes, he used to come and see us every day, to give the children lessons. I found I couldn't do that as well as manage the house.
I'm sure you couldn't. And your husband... I suppose being a magistrate, he has to be away from home a good deal.
Yes. You see, Hedda, he has to cover the whole district.
Oh, poor, pretty little dear. Now, you must tell me the whole story, from beginning to end.
Well, what do you want to know?
What kind of a man is your husband, Thea? I mean, as a person. Is he kind to you?
I'm sure he does his best to be.
I only wonder if he isn't too old for you. There's more than 20 years between you, isn't there?
Yes. There's that, too. Oh, there are so many things. We're different in every way, with nothing in common. Nothing whatever.
But he loves you, surely, in his own way.
Oh, I don't know. I think he just finds me useful. And then I don't cost much to keep. I'm cheap. Oh,
now you're being stupid.
It can't be any different with him. He doesn't love anyone except himself. And perhaps the children. A little.
He must be fond of Eilert Lovborg, dear.
Eilert Lovborg? What makes you think that?
Well, if he sends you all the way down here to look for him. Besides, you said so yourself to Tessman.
Did I? Oh, yes. I suppose I did. Well, I might as well tell you the whole story. It's bound to come out sooner or later.
My dear Thea.
My husband had no idea I was coming here.
What? Your husband didn't know?
No. Of course not. As a matter of fact, he wasn't even there. He was away at the assizes. Oh, I couldn't stand it any longer, Hedda. I just couldn't. I'd be so dreadfully lonely up there now.
Go on.
So I packed a few things, secretly, and went.
Without telling anyone?
Yes. I caught the train and came straight here.
But my dear Thea, how brave of you.
But what else could I do?
Well, what do you suppose your husband will say when you get back?
Back there? To him?
Oh, yes, surely you...
I shall never go back to him.
You mean you've left your home for good?
Yes. I didn't see what else I could do.
But to do it so openly?
Oh, it's no use trying to keep a thing like that
secret. What do you suppose people will say?
They can say what they like. I had to do it.
What do you intend to do now? How are you going to live?
I don't know. I only know that I must live wherever Eilert Lovborg is, if I am to go on living.
Tell me, Atea, how did this friendship between you and Aelit Lerfborg begin?
Oh, it came about gradually. I developed a kind of power over him.
Power?
He gave up his old habits, not because I asked him to. I'd never have dared do that. I suppose he just noticed I didn't like that kind of thing, so he gave it up.
So? You've made a new man of him. Clever little tale.
Yes. Anyway, he says I have. And he's made a sort of real person of me. He taught me to think and to understand all kinds of things.
Did he give you lessons, too?
Not exactly lessons, but he talked to me about, oh, you've no idea, so many things. And then he let me work with him. Oh, it was wonderful. I was so happy to be allowed to help him.
Did he allow you to help him?
Yes. Whenever he wrote anything, we always did it together.
Like good friends.
Friends? Yes, my Hedda, that's exactly the word he used. Oh, I ought to feel so happy. But I can't. I don't know if it will last.
You don't sound very sure of him.
Something stands between Aelit Lerfborg and me. Shadow of another woman.
Who can that be?
I don't know. Someone he used to be friendly with in the old days. Someone he's never been able to forget.
What has he told you about her?
Oh, he only mentioned her once, casually.
Well, what did he say?
He said when he left her, she tried to shoot him with a pistol.
What nonsense. People don't do such things. Not the kind of people we know.
No. I think it must have been that red-haired singer he used to...
Yeah, yes, very probably.
I remember they used to say she always carried a loaded pistol.
Well, then it must be her.
But Hedda, I hear she's come back and is living here. Oh, I'm so desperate.
Tessman's coming. Taya, we mustn't breathe a word about this to anyone.
Oh, no. Please don't.
Well, here's my little epistle, all signed and sealed.
Good. Ah, I think Mrs. Elfsted wants to go now. Oh, no, wait a moment. I'll see you as far as the garden gate.
Hedda, do you think Berta could deal with this?
I'll give her instructions.
And Brack is here and asks if he may pay his respects to Madam and the doctor.
Yes. Ask him to be so good as to come in. And wait a moment. Drop this letter in the postbox.
Very good, Madam.
Me one presume to call so early.
One may presume.
You're welcome here any time. Oh, Judge Brack, Mrs. Reesing.
Ah, charmed.
What fun to be able to see you by daylight for once, Judge.
Oh, do I look different?
Yes, a little younger, I think.
Too kind.
Well, what do you think of Hedda, eh? Doesn't she look well? Hasn't she filled out?
Oh, do stop it. You ought to be thanking Judge Brack for all the inconvenience he's put himself to.
Nonsense, it was a pleasure.
You're a loyal friend. Oh, but my other friend is pining to get away. Au revoir, Judge, I won't be a moment. This way, here. Good morning, Judge.
Good morning, Mrs. Reesing. Pleasure to see you again. Huh. Well, is your wife satisfied with everything?
Yes, we can't thank you enough. That is, we may have to shift one or two things around, she tells me. And we're short of one or two little items we'll have to purchase.
Oh, really?
Oh, but you mustn't worry your head about that. Hedda says she'll get what's needed.
Something I'd like to talk to you about, my dear Tessman.
Ah, oh yes, of course. After the feast comes the reckoning.
Oh, never mind about the financial side. There's no hurry about that. Though I could wish we'd arranged things a little less palatially.
Good heavens, that'd never have done. Think of Hedda, my dear chap. You know her. I couldn't possibly ask her to live like a petty bourgeois.
No, that's just the problem.
Anyway, it can't be long now before my nomination comes through.
Well, you know, these things often take time.
Have you heard any more news, eh?
Nothing definite. Oh, by the way, I have one piece of news for you.
What?
Your old friend, Aelit Lerfborg, is back in town.
I know that already.
Oh? How did you hear that?
She told me. The lady who went out with Hedda.
I see. What was her name? I didn't catch it.
Mrs. Elsten.
Oh, the magistrate's wife. Yes, Lövborg's been living up near them, hasn't he?
I'm delighted to hear he's become a decent human being again.
Eh? So they see.
I gather he's published a new book, too. Eh?
Indeed he has.
I hear it's created rather a stir.
Quite an unusual stir.
They say, isn't that splendid news? He's such a gifted chap. And I was afraid he'd gone to the dogs for good.
Most people thought he had.
But I can't think what he'll do now. How on earth will he manage to make ends meet, eh?
Tessman is always worrying about making ends meet.
We were talking about poor Eilert Lövborg, Hedda dear.
Oh, were you? Is he in trouble?
Well, he must have run through his inheritance long ago by now. And he can't write a new book every year, eh? So I'm wondering what's going to become of him.
Well, I may be able to enlighten you there.
Oh?
You mustn't forget he has relatives who wield a good deal of influence.
Relatives? They've washed their hands of him, I'm afraid.
They used to regard him as the hope of the family.
Used to, yes. But he's put an end to that.
Who knows? I hear the Elfsteds have made a new man of him.
And then this book he's just published.
Well, let's hope they find something for him. I've just written him a note. Oh, and by the way, Hedda, I asked him to come over and see us this evening.
Oh, but my dear chap, you're coming to see me this evening. My bachelor party. You promised me last night when I met you at the boat.
Had you forgotten, Tessman?
Oh, good heavens, yes. God, quite forgotten.
Anyway, you can be quite sure he won't turn up here.
Why do you think that, eh?
My dear Tessman, and you too, Mrs. Tessman, there's something I feel you ought to know.
Concerning Eilert?
Concerning him and you.
Well, my dear judge, tell us, please.
You must be prepared for your nomination not to come through quite as quickly as you hope and expect.
Is anything wrong, eh?
There's a possibility that the appointment may be decided by competition.
Competition? Hedda, fancy that.
Oh, how interesting.
But who else is... You don't mean...
Exactly, by competition with Eilert Lövborg.
Oh, but this is inconceivable. It's absolutely impossible, eh?
We may find it'll happen, all the same.
No, but Judge Brack, they couldn't be so inconsiderate towards me. I mean, by Jove, I'm a married man. It was on the strength of this that Hedda and I got married. We've run up some pretty hefty debts. And borrowed money from Auntie Juju. I mean, good heavens, they practically promised me the appointment. Eh?
Well, I'm sure you'll get it. But you'll have to go through a competition.
How exciting, Tessman. It'll be a kind of duel, by Jove.
My dear Hedda, how can you take it so lightly?
I'm not. I can't wait to see who's going to win.
In any case, Mrs. Tessman, it's best you should know how things stand. I mean, before you commit yourself to these little items, I hear you're threatening to purchase.
I can't allow this to alter my plans.
Indeed. Well, that's your business. Goodbye. I'll come and collect you on the way home from my afternoon walk.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry, I'm all upside down just now.
Goodbye, Judge. See you this afternoon.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye, my dear Judge. You will excuse me, won't you? Oh, Hedda, one oughtn't to go plunging off on wild adventures, eh?
Like you're doing.
Yes, I mean, there's no denying it. It was a pretty big adventure to go off and get married and set up house merely on expectation.
Perhaps you're right.
Well, anyway, we have our home, Hedda. My word, yes. The home we dreamed of and set our hearts on. Eh?
You agreed that we should enter society and keep open house. That was the bargain.
Yes, good heavens, I was looking forward to it all so much. To seeing you play hostess to a select circle, by Jove. Eh? Oh, well, for the time being, we shall have to make do with each other's company, Hedda. Perhaps a Vanty Juju in now and then. Oh, dear, this wasn't at all what you had in mind.
I won't be able to have a liveried footman for a start.
Oh, no, we couldn't possibly afford a footman.
And the bay mare you promised me.
Bay Mare.
I mustn't even think of that now.
Heaven forbid.
Oh, well. I still have one thing left to amuse myself with.
Thank goodness for that. What's that, Hedda? Eh?
My pistols, George, darling.
Pistols?
General Gabler's pistols.
For heaven's sake, Hedda, dear, don't touch those things. They're dangerous. Hedda, please. For my sake.
Good afternoon, George.
Afternoon, Mrs. Tesla.
I'm going to shoot you, Judge Brack.
No. Don't aim that pistol at me.
This'll teach you to enter houses by the back door.
Have you gone completely out of your mind?
Oh, dear. Did I hit you?
Stop playing these silly tricks.
All right, Judge. Come along in.
God's sake, haven't you stopped fooling around with those pistols yet? What are you trying to hit?
Oh, I was just shooting at the sky.
By your leave, ma'am. Yes, I know this old friend well. Now, where's the pistol case? Oh, yes. That's enough of that little game for today.
Well, what on earth am I to do?
You haven't had any visitors?
Not one. I suppose the best people are all still in the country.
Your husband isn't home yet?
No. The moment he'd finished eating, he ran off to his auntie's. He wasn't expecting you so early.
Ah, why didn't I think of that? How stupid of me.
Why stupid?
I'd have come a little sooner.
There would have been no one to receive you. I've been in my room since lunch, dressing.
You haven't a tiny crack in the door through which we might have negotiated?
You forgot to arrange one.
Another stupidity.
Well, we'll have to sit down here and wait. Tessman won't be back for some time.
Sad. Well, I'll be patient.
Well?
Well?
I asked first.
Yes. Well, now we can enjoy a nice, cozy wee chat, Mrs. Hedda.
It seems ages since we had a talk. I don't count last night or this morning.
You mean adieu?
Yes, that's roughly what I meant.
I've been longing so much for you to come home.
So have I.
You? Really, Mrs. Hedda? And I thought you were having such a wonderful honeymoon.
Oh, yes, wonderful.
But your husband wrote such ecstatic letters.
He? Oh, yes, he thinks life has nothing better to offer than rooting around in libraries and copying old pieces of parchment or whatever it is he does.
Well, that is his life. Most of it, anyway.
Yes, I know. Well, it's all right for him, but for me... Oh, no, my dear judge. I've been bored to death.
Do you mean that? Seriously?
Yes. Can you imagine 6 whole months without ever meeting a single person who was one of us? And to whom I could talk to about the kind of things that we talk about?
Yes, I can understand. I'd miss that, too.
It wasn't the worst, though.
What was?
Having to spend every minute of one's life with the same person.
Yes. What a thought. Morning, noon, and...
As I said, every minute of one's life.
I stand corrected. But dear Tessman, such a clever fellow. I should have thought one would be able to...
Tessman is only interested in one thing, my dear judge. His special subject...
True.
And people who are only interested in one thing don't make the most amusing company. Not for long, anyway.
Not even when they happen to be the person one loves?
Don't use that stupid, sickly word.
But Mrs.
You Hedda... just try it, Judge. Listening to the history of civilization, morning, noon, and night.
Every minute of one's life.
All right. Oh, and those domestic industries of Brabant in the Middle Ages. That really is beyond the limit.
But tell me, if you feel like this, why on earth...
Why on earth did I marry George Tessman?
If you like to put it that way.
Do you think it's so very strange?
Yes and no, Mrs. Hedda.
I danced myself tired, Judge. I felt my time was up. No, I mustn't say that or even think it.
You've no rational cause to think it.
Oh, cause. After all, George Tessman, well, I mean, he's very clever at collecting material and all that, isn't he? I mean, he may go quite far in time.
Well, I thought you believed, like everyone else, that he would become a very prominent man.
Yes, I did. And when he came and begged me on his bended knees to be allowed to love and to cherish me, I didn't see why I shouldn't let him.
No. Well, if one looks at it like that...
It was more than my other admirers were prepared to do, Judge dear.
Well, I can't answer for the others. As far as I myself am concerned... You know, I've always had a considerable respect for the institution of marriage. As an institution.
Oh, I've never entertained any hopes of you.
All I want is to have a circle of friends whom I can trust, whom I can help with advice, or by any other means, and into whose houses I may come and go as a trusted friend.
Of the husband?
Preferably, to be frank... of the wife. And of the husband, too, of course. Yes, you know, this kind of triangle is a delightful arrangement for all parties concerned.
Yes. I often longed for a third person while I was away. Oh, those hours we spent alone in railway compartments.
Fortunately, your honeymoon is now over.
There is a long, long way still to go. I've only reached a stop on the line.
Why not jump out and stretch your legs a little, Mrs. Hedda?
I'm not the jumping sort.
Aren't you?
No. There's always someone around who...
Oh, who looks at one's legs.
Yes, exactly.
Well, but surely...
I don't like it. I'd rather stay where I am. Sitting in the compartment.
But suppose a third person were to step into the compartment.
That would be different.
A trusted friend. Someone who understood.
And was lively and amusing.
And interested in more subjects than one.
Yes. That would be a relief.
The triangle is completed.
And the train goes on.
Oh, it's too hot to be lugging all these books around. I'm positively sweating, Hedda. Oh, Lord, you're here already, Judge, eh? Bertha didn't tell me.
I came in through the garden.
What are all those books you've got there?
Oh, some new publications dealing with my special subject. I had to buy them.
Your special subject?
His special subject, Mrs. Tessman.
Haven't you collected enough material on your special subject?
My dear Hedda, one can never have too much. One must keep abreast of what other people are writing.
Yes, of course.
Look, I bought a copy of Eilert Lovberg's new book, too. Perhaps you'd like to have a look at it, Hedda, eh?
No, thank you. Yes, perhaps I will, later.
I glanced through it on my way home.
What's your opinion as a specialist on the subject?
I'm amazed how sound and balanced it is. He never used to write like that. Well, I must get down to these at once. I can hardly wait to cut the pages. Oh, and I've got to change, too. We don't have to be off just yet, do we? Eh?
Heavens, no.
Good.
We've plenty of time yet.
Good. I needn't hurry then, eh? Oh, and by the way, Hedda... Auntie Juju won't be coming to see you this evening.
Won't she? Oh, the hat, I suppose.
Oh, good heavens, no. How could you think of such a thing of Auntie Juju? Fancy. No, Auntie Rena's very ill.
She always is.
Yes, but today she's been taken really bad.
Oh. Then it's quite understandable that the other one should want to stay with her. Well, I shall have to swallow my disappointment.
You can't imagine how happy Auntie Juju was in spite of everything. At your looking so well after the honeymoon.
Oh, these everlasting hearts.
What?
Nothing.
Oh. All right. Right.
What was that about the hat?
Oh, something that happened with Miss Tessman this morning. She put her hat down in a chair and I pretended to think it was the servants.
Oh, my dear Mrs. Hedder, how could you do such a thing to that poor old lady?
Sometimes a mood like that hits me and I can't stop myself. I don't know how to explain it.
You're not really happy. That's the answer.
Why on earth should I be happy? Can you give me a reason?
Yes. For one thing, you've got the home you always wanted.
You really believe that story?
You mean it isn't true?
Oh, yes, it's partly true.
Well?
It's true I got Tessman to see me home from parties last summer.
It's a pity my home lay in another direction.
Yes, your interests lay in another direction, too.
Oh, that's naughty of you, Mrs. Hedder. Huh? But the return to you and George.
Well, we walked past this house one evening, and poor Tessman was fidgeting in his boots trying to find something to talk about. I felt sorry for the great scholar.
Did you?
Yes, honestly, I did. Well, to help him out of his misery, I happened to say quite frivolously how much I'd love to live in this house.
Was that all?
That evening, yes.
But afterwards?
Yes. My little frivolity had its consequences, my dear judge.
Our little frivolities do. Much too often, unfortunately.
Thank you. Well, it was our mutual admiration for the late Prime Minister's house that brought George Tessman and me together on common ground. So we got engaged, and we got married, and we went on our honeymoon, and, well, Judge, I've made my bed and I must lie in it, I was about to say.
How utterly fantastic. And you didn't really care in the least about the house?
God knows I didn't.
Yes, but now that we've furnished it so beautifully for you.
All the rooms smell of lavender and dried roses, but perhaps Auntie Juju brought that in.
It's more likely the Prime Minister's widow. Rest her soul.
Yes, it's got the odour of death about it. It reminds me of the flowers one was worn at a ball the morning after. Oh, my dear Judge, you've no idea how hideously bored I'm going to be out here.
Couldn't you find some occupation, Mrs. Hedder? Like your husband.
Occupation that would interest me?
Well, preferably.
God knows what. I've often thought... No, that wouldn't work either.
Who knows? Tell me about it.
I was thinking, if I could persuade Tessman to go into politics, for example.
Tessman? No, honestly, I don't think he's quite cut out to be a politician.
Perhaps not. But if I could persuade him to have a go at it...
What satisfaction would that give you? If he turned out to be no good. Why do you want to make him do that?
Because I'm bored. You feel there's absolutely no possibility of Tessman becoming Prime Minister, then?
You know, Mrs. Hedder, for one thing, he'd have to be pretty well off before he could become that.
There you are. It's this wretched poverty that makes life so hateful and ludicrous. Well, it is.
I don't think that's the real cause.
What is, then?
Nothing really exciting has ever happened to you.
Nothing serious, you mean?
Call it that if you like. But now perhaps it may.
You're thinking of this competition for the wretched professorship. That's Tessman's affair. I'm not going to waste my time worrying about that.
Very well, let's forget about that then. But suppose you were to find yourself faced with what people call, to use the conventional phrase, the most solemn of human responsibilities. A new responsibility, little Mrs. Hedda.
Be quiet. Nothing like that's going to happen.
We'll talk about it again in a year's time, if not earlier.
I have no leanings in that direction, Judge. I don't want any responsibilities.
But surely you must feel some inclination to make use of that natural talent which every woman...
Be quiet, I say! I often think there's only one thing for which I have any natural talent.
And what is that? If I may be so bold as to ask.
Or boring myself to death. Now, you know. Talking of boring, here comes the professor.
No, Mrs. Hedda.
Hedda, hasn't any message come from Aylard?
No.
Aha, well then we'll have him here presently. You wait and see.
You really think he'll come?
Yes, I'm almost sure he will. What you were saying about him this morning is just gossip.
Oh?
Yes, Auntie Juju said she didn't believe he'd ever dare to stand in my way again. Fancy that.
Then everything in the garden's lovely.
Yes, but you really must let me wait for him as long as possible.
We've plenty of time. No one will be turning up at my place before 7 or 7:30.
Oh, well, then we can keep Hedda company a little longer and see if he turns up. Eh?
And if the worst comes to the worst, Mr. Lovebore can sit here and talk to me.
What do you mean by, if the worst comes to the worst?
If he doesn't want to go with you and Tessman.
Oh, I say, Hedda, do you think it'll be all right for him to stay here with you? Eh? Remember, Auntie Juju isn't coming.
Yes, but Mrs. Elfstead is. The three of us can have a cup of tea together.
Oh, then that'll be all right.
It's probably the safest solution as far as he's concerned.
Why?
Well, my dear Mrs. Tessman, you always say at my little bachelor parties that they should only be attended by men of the strongest principles.
But Mr. Lerborg is a man of principle now. You know what they say about a reformed sinner.
Madam, it's a gentleman here who wants to see you.
Ask him to come in.
I'm sure it's him. By Jove, fancy that.
Oh, my dear Aylard. How grand to see you again after all these years.
It was good of you to write, George. May I shake hands with you too, Mrs. Tessman?
Delighted to see you, Mr. Lerford. I don't know if you two gentlemen...
Judge Brack, I believe.
Correct. We met some years ago.
Now, you're to treat this house just as though it were your own home, Aylard. Isn't that right, Hedda? I hear that you've decided to settle here again, eh?
Yes, I have.
Quite understandable. Oh, and by the way, I've just bought your new book. Although, to tell the truth, I haven't found time to read it yet.
You needn't bother.
Oh? Why?
There's nothing much in it.
By Jove, fancy hearing that from you.
But everyone's praising it.
That was exactly what I wanted to happen. So I only wrote what I knew everyone would agree with.
Very sensible.
Yes, but my dear Aylard...
I want to try to re-establish myself. To begin again. From the beginning.
Yes, I suppose you do. Eh?
But when this gets published, George Tessman, read it. This is my real book. The one in which I have spoken with my own voice.
Oh, really? What's it about?
It's the sequel.
Sequel? To what?
To the other book.
The one that's just come out?
Yes.
Oh, but my dear Aylard, that covers the subject right up to the present day.
It does. But this is about the future.
The future? But I say, we don't know anything about that.
No, but there are one or two things that need to be said about it. Here, have a look.
Surely that's not your handwriting.
I dictated it. It's in two parts. The first deals with the forces that will shape our civilization. And the second indicates the direction in which that civilization may develop.
Amazing. I'd never think of writing about anything like that.
No, you wouldn't.
I brought it because I thought I might possibly read you a few pages this evening.
Oh, I say, what a kind idea. But this evening? I'm not quite sure whether...
Well, some other time, then. There's no hurry.
Now, the truth is, Mr. Lerborg, I'm giving a little dinner this evening. In Tessman's honor, you know.
Oh, then I mustn't...
No, wait a minute. Now, would you do me the honor of joining us?
No, I can't. Thank you so much.
Oh, nonsense. Do, please. There'll only be a few of us, and I can promise you we shall have some good sport, as head of, as Mrs. Tessman puts it.
I've no doubt. Nevertheless.
Oh, yeah, you could bring your manuscript along and read it to Tessman at my place. I could lend you a room.
Well, yes, that's an idea.
Eh? Tessman, Mr. Lerfborg, doesn't want to go. I'm sure Mr. Lerfborg would much rather sit here and have supper with me.
With you, Mrs. Tessman.
And Mrs. Elfstead.
Oh, I ran into her this afternoon.
Did you? Well, she's coming here this evening, so you really must stay, Mr. Lerfborg, otherwise she'll have no one to see her home.
That's true. Well, thank you, Mrs. Tessman. I'll stay then.
I'll just tell the servant.
That's up.
I say, Aylett, this new subject of yours, the future, is that the one you're going to lecture about?
Yes.
They told me down at the bookshop that you're going to hold a series of lectures here during the autumn.
Yes, I am. I hope you don't mind, Tessman.
Good heavens, no, but...
I can quite understand it might queer your pitch a little.
Oh, well, I can't expect you to put them off for my sake.
I'll wait till your appointment's been announced.
You'll wait. But aren't you going to compete with me for the post? Eh?
No. I only want to defeat you in the eyes of the world.
Good heavens. Then Auntie Juju was right after all. Oh, I knew it. I knew it. Do you hear that, Hedda? Fancy. Aylett doesn't want to stand in our way.
Ah. Leave me out of it, please.
Judge Bragg, what do you think about all this, eh?
Oh, I think honor and victory can be very splendid things.
Of course they can, still it's...
You look as if you'd been hit by a thunderbolt.
Well, yes, I feel rather like it.
There was a black cloud looming up, Mrs. Tessman, but it seems to have passed over.
Well, gentlemen, won't you go in and take a glass of cold punch?
One for the road. Yes. Why not?
An admirable suggestion, Hedda. Admirable. Oh, I feel so relieved.
Won't you have one too, Mr. Lerfborg?
No, thank you. I'd rather not.
A great heavens, man. Cold punch isn't poison. You can take my word for it.
Not for everyone, perhaps.
I'll keep Mr. Lerfborg company while you drink.
Yes, Hedda dear, would you? Now, come along this way, my dear John Bragg. Let us enjoy ourselves, come my friend.
I've some photographs I'd like to show you, if you'd care to see them. Tessman and I visited the Tyrol on our way home. You see these mountains, Mr. Lerfborg? That's the Ortler group. Tessman has written the name underneath. You see, the Ortler group. Near Meron.
Hedda Gabler.
Shh.
Hedda Gabler.
Yes, that used to be my name when we first knew each other.
And from now on, for the rest of my life, I must teach myself never to say Hedda Gabler.
Yes, you must. You'd better start getting into practice. The sooner the better.
Hedda Gabler married. And to George Tessman.
Yes, well, that's life.
Oh, Hedda. How could you throw yourself away like that?
Stop it.
What do you mean?
And this, Mr. Lerfborg, is the view from the Ampezzo Valley. Look at those mountains. What did you say those curious mountains were called, dear?
Let me have a look. Those are the Dolomites.
Of course. Those are the Dolomites, Mr. Lerfborg.
Hedda, I just wanted to ask you, can't we bring some punch in here? A glass for you, anyway.
Oh, thank you, yes. And a biscuit or two, perhaps.
You wouldn't like a cigarette?
No.
Right.
Answer me, Hedda. How could you do it?
If you go on calling me Hedda,
I won't talk to you anymore.
Mayn't I, even when we're alone?
No. You can think it, but you mustn't say it.
Oh, I see. Because you love George Tesla.
Love? Don't be funny.
You don't love him?
I don't intend to be unfaithful to him. That's not what I want.
Heather, just tell me one thing.
Oh, here we are. Here come the refreshments.
Why didn't you ask the servant to bring it in?
I like waiting on you, Heather.
But you filled both glasses. Mr. Lovborg doesn't want to drink.
Yes, but Mrs. Elstead will be here soon.
Oh, yes, that's true. Mrs. Elstead.
Had you forgotten her? Eh?
We're so absorbed with these photographs. You remember this little village?
Oh, that's that one down by the Brenner Pass. We spent a night there.
Yes, and met all those amusing people.
Oh, yes, yes, it was there, wasn't it? Huh? By Jove. Oh, if only we could have had you with us, Aylott. Oh, well.
Tell me one thing, Heather.
Yes.
Didn't you love me either? Not just a little?
Well, now, I wonder. No. I think we were just good friends. You certainly poured your heart out to me.
You begged me to.
Looking back on it, there was something beautiful and fascinating and brave about the way we used to tell each other everything. That secret friendship that no one else knew about.
Yes, Hedda, yes. Do you remember how I used to come up to your father's house in the afternoon, and the general sat by the window and read his newspapers with his back towards us?
And we sat on the sofa in the corner.
Always reading the same illustrated magazine.
We hadn't any photograph album.
Yes, Hedda. I regarded you as a kind of confessor. Told you things about myself which no one else knew about then. Those days and nights of drinking and... Oh, Hedda, what power did you have to make me confess such things?
Power? You think I had some power over you?
Yes. I don't know how else to explain it. And all those oblique questions you asked.
You knew what they meant.
But that you could sit there and ask me such questions, so unashamedly.
I thought you said they were oblique.
Yes, but you asked them so unashamedly that you could question me about that kind of thing.
You answered willingly enough.
Yes. That's what I can't understand, looking back on it. But tell me, Hedda, what you felt for me, wasn't that love? When you asked me those questions and made me confess my sins to you, wasn't it because you wanted to wash me clean?
No. Not exactly.
Why did you do it, then?
Do you find it so incredible that a young girl, given the chance in secret, should want to be allowed a glimpse into a forbidden world? Of whose existence she is supposed to be ignorant.
So that was it?
One reason, I think.
You didn't love me then. You just wanted knowledge. But if that was so, why did you break it off?
That was your fault.
It was you who put an end to it.
Yes. When I realized that our friendship was threatened to develop into something else. Shame on you, Aylott Lovborg. How could you abuse the trust of your dearest friend?
Oh, why didn't you do it? Why didn't you shoot me dead as you threatened to?
I was afraid of the scandal.
Yes, Hedda. You're a coward at heart.
A dreadful coward. Luckily for you, well, now you've found consolation with the Elfsteads.
I know what Thea's been telling you.
I dare say you told her about us.
Not a word. She's too silly to understand that kind of thing.
Silly?
She's silly about that kind of thing.
And I'm a coward. But let me tell you something. Something you don't know.
Yeah.
My failure to shoot you wasn't my worst act of cowardice that evening.
Oh, Hedda. Hedda Gabler. Now I see what was behind those questions. Yes. It wasn't knowledge you wanted. It was life.
Take care. Don't you delude yourself.
Mrs. Elstead.
Ah, at last. Come in, Taya, dear. Taya, darling, I thought you were never coming.
Perhaps I ought to go in and say a few words to your husband.
Oh, there's no need. They're happy by themselves. They'll be going soon.
Going?
Yes, they're off on a spree this evening.
You're not going with them?
No.
Mr. Lerborg is staying here with us.
Oh, how nice it is to be here.
Taya, darling, come over and sit beside me. No, not there. I want to be in the middle.
Yes, just as you wish.
Isn't she lovely to look at?
Only to look at?
Yes. We're just good friends. We trust each other implicitly. We can talk to each other quite unashamedly.
No need to be oblique.
Oh, Hedda, I'm so happy. Imagine, he says I've inspired him.
Dear Taya, does he really?
She has the courage of her convictions, Mrs. Tessman.
Aye, courage.
Absolute courage. Where friendship is concerned.
Yes, courage. If only one had that.
Yes.
One might be able to live, in spite of everything. Well, Taya, darling, now you're going to drink a nice glass of cold punch.
No, thank you. I never drink anything like that.
Oh. You, Mr. Lerfork?
Thank you, I don't either.
No, he doesn't either.
But if I want you to...
That doesn't make any difference.
Have I no power over you at all? Poor me.
Not where this is concerned.
Seriously. I think you should, for your own sake. Hedda.
Why?
Or perhaps I should say, for other people's sake.
What do you mean?
People might think that you didn't feel absolutely and unashamedly sure of yourself in your heart of hearts.
Oh, Hedda, no.
People can think what they like, for the present.
I saw it so clearly in Judge Brack a few minutes ago.
Oh? What did you see?
He smiled so scornfully when he saw that you were afraid to go in there and drink with them.
Afraid? I wanted to stay here and talk to you.
That was only natural, Hedda.
But the judge wasn't to know that. I saw him wink at Tessman when you showed that you didn't dare to join that wretched little party.
Didn't dare? Are you saying I didn't dare?
I'm not saying so. But that was what Judge Brack thought.
Well, let him.
You're not going then.
I'm staying here with you and Taya.
Yes, Hedda, of course he is.
Firm as a rock, a man of principle. That's how a man should be. Didn't I tell you so this morning, Taya, when you came here in such a panic?
Panic?
Hedda, well now, you can see for yourself. There's no earthly need for you to get scared to death just because... Well, let's all three cheer up and enjoy ourselves.
Mrs. Tessman, would you mind explaining to me what this is all about?
Oh, my God. My God, Hedda. What are you saying? What are you doing?
Scared to death, were you? For my sake.
Oh, Hedda, you've made me so unhappy.
So that was how much you trusted me.
Ayla, dear, please, listen to me.
Stall, Taya.
Hedda. Hedda, why did you want this to happen?
I want it. Are you mad?
Skål to you too, Mrs. Tessman. Thanks for telling me the truth. Here's to the truth.
Steady. That's enough for now. Don't forget the party.
No, no, no.
Taya, tell me the truth.
Yes?
Did your husband know you were following me?
Oh,
did Hedda. You and he have an agreement that you should come here and keep an eye on me? Perhaps he gave you the idea. After all, he's a magistrate. I suppose he needed me back at his office. Or did he miss my companionship at the card table?
Ayla.
Let's drink to him, too.
No more now. Remember, you're going to read your book to Tessman.
Oh, that's silly of me, Taya. To take it like that and... Don't be angry with me, my dear. You'll see. Yes. And they'll see, too, that though I fell,
I have raised myself up again. With your help, dear.
Oh, thank God.
Well, Mrs. Tesman, it's time for us to go.
Yes, I suppose it must be.
Time for me too, Judge.
Aylett, please, don't.
You were kind enough to ask me to join you.
Are you coming?
If I may.
Oh, delighted.
I'd like to show you one or two things before I send this manuscript off to the printer.
Oh, I say, that'll be fun, eh? Fancy. Oh, but, Hedda, how will Mrs. Elstead get home, eh?
Oh, we'll manage somehow.
Mrs. Elstead? I shall come back and collect her, naturally. About 10 o'clock, Mrs. Tesman. Will that suit you?
Yes, that'll suit me admirably.
Good. That's settled, eh? Yeah, but you mustn't expect me back so early, Hedda.
Stay as long as you like. Well then, Mr. Lovborg, I'll wait here till you come.
Pray do, Mrs. Elstead.
Well, gentlemen, now a party begins. Good night, ladies. Good night.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, ladies.
About 10 o'clock, then.
Oh, Hedda. Hedda. How is all this going to end? At 10 o'clock, then. He'll be here. I can see him, with a crown of vine leaves in his hair, burning and unashamed.
Oh, I do hope so.
Can't you see? And then he'll be himself again. He'll be a free man for the rest of his days.
Please, God, you're right.
That's how he'll come. You can doubt him as much as you like. I believe in him. And now we'll see which
of us...
You're
after something, Hedda.
Yes, I am. For once in my life, I want to have the power to shape a man's destiny.
Haven't you that power already?
No, I haven't. I've never had it.
But your husband...
Him? Oh, if only you could understand how poor I am. And you're allowed to be so rich. So rich. I think I'll burn your hair off after all.
Let me go. Let me go. You frighten me, Hedda.
I've made tea in the dining room, madam.
Good. We're coming.
No, no, no. I'd rather go home alone. Now.
Rubbish.
At once.
First you're going to have some tea, you little idiot. And then, at 10 o'clock, Aylett Lerfborg will come. With a crown of vine leaves in his hair.
Not back yet. Oh, God. Oh, God. Not back yet.
Oh, madam.
What is it? Has someone come?
Yes, a servant's just called with this letter.
A letter? Give it to me.
But it's for the doctor, madam.
Oh, I see.
And Miss Tesman's maid brought it. I'll leave it here on this table.
Yes, do.
I'd better put the lamp out. It's daylight already, madam.
Yes, broad day. I'm not home yet.
Oh, dear, I was afraid this would happen.
Were you?
Yes. When I heard that a certain gentleman had returned to town and saw him go off with them. I've heard all about him.
Well, don't talk so loud. You'll wake your mistress.
Yes, let her go on sleeping, poor dear. Hey, will I put some more wood in the fire?
Thank you. Don't bother on my account.
Very good.
What's that? It was only the maid. What am I doing here on the sofa? Ah, now I remember. What time is it, dear?
It's just gone 7.
When did Tesman get back?
He's not back yet.
Not home yet?
No one's come.
And we sat up waiting for him till 4 o'clock.
God, how I waited for him.
Oh, dear. We might have saved ourselves the trouble.
Did you manage to sleep?
Oh, yes, quite well, I think.
Didn't you get any?
Not a wink.
I couldn't, Hedda. I just couldn't.
No, no, no. There's nothing to worry about. I know what's happened.
What? Oh, please tell me.
Well, obviously the party went on very late.
Oh, dear. I suppose it must have.
And Tesman didn't want to come home and wake us all up in the middle of the night. He probably wasn't too keen to show his face either after a spree like that.
Where could he have gone?
I should think he's probably slept at his aunt's. They keep his old room for him.
Oh, no, he can't be with them. A letter came for him just now from Miss Tesman. It's over there.
Huh? Yes, it's Auntie Juju's handwriting. Oh, he must still be at Judge Brack's then. And Eilert Lerborg is sitting there reading to him with a crown of vine leaves in his hair.
Hedda, you're only saying that. You don't believe it.
Thea, you really are a little fool.
Perhaps I am.
You look tired to death.
Yes, I am tired to death.
Go to my room and lie down for a little.
No.
And do as I say.
No,
don't
no.
Argue.
I couldn't possibly sleep.
Of course you can.
But your husband will come home soon, and I must know
I'll
at once.
I'll tell you when he comes.
Promise me, Hedda?
Yes. And don't worry. Go and get some sleep.
Thank you. All right.
Butter.
Did you want anything, madam?
Yes, put some wood on the fire. I'm freezing.
Bless you, I'll soon have this room warmed up. Oh, there's someone at the front door, madam.
Well, go and open it. I'll see to the fire.
It'll burn up in a minute.
Good morning, Master.
Good morning, Master. Hedda.
Good morning.
Good heavens, Hedda, you up already, eh?
Yes, I got up very early this morning.
I was sure you'd still be sleeping. Fancy that.
Shh, don't talk so loud. Mrs. Elfstead's asleep in my room.
Mrs. Elfstead? She stayed the night here?
Yes. No one came to escort her home.
Oh. No, I suppose not.
Well, was it fun?
Have you been anxious about me, eh?
Not in the least. I asked if you'd had fun.
Oh, yes, rather. Well, I thought for once in a while. The first part was the best, when Eilert read his book to me. We arrived over an hour too early. Well, what about that, eh? Fancy that. Brack had a lot of things to see to, so Eilert read to me.
Well, tell me about it.
Honestly, Hedda. You have no idea what a book that is going to be. It's really one of the most remarkable things that's ever been written. By Jove!
Oh, never mind about the book.
I'm going to make a confession to you, Hedda. When he'd finished reading, a sort of beastly feeling came over me.
Beastly feeling?
I found myself envying Eilert for being able to write like that. Imagine that, Hedda.
Yes, I can imagine.
What a tragedy that with all these gifts he should be so incorrigible.
You mean he's less afraid of life than most men?
Good heavens, no. He just doesn't know the meaning of the word moderation.
What happened afterwards?
Well, looking back on it, I suppose you might almost call it an orgy, Hedda.
Had he vine leaves in his hair?
Vine leaves? No, I didn't see any of them. He made a long, rambling oration in honor of the woman who'd inspired him to write this book. Yes, those were the words he used.
Did he name her?
No, but I suppose it must be Mrs. Elstead. You just wait and see.
Where did you leave him?
On the way home. We left in a bunch, the last of us, that is, and Brack came with us to get a little fresh air. Well, then, you see, we agreed we ought to see Eilert home. He'd had a drop too much.
You don't say.
But now comes the funny part, Hedda. Or I really should say the tragic part. Och, I'm almost ashamed to tell you, for Eilert's sake, I mean.
Why? What happened?
Well, you see, as we were walking towards town, I happened to drop behind for a minute. Just for a minute, you understand?
Yes, yes.
Well, then I ran on to catch them up, and what do you think I found by the roadside? Eh?
How on earth should I know?
You mustn't tell anyone, Hedda, eh? Promise me that, for Eilert's sake. Just fancy, I found this package.
Isn't that the one that Eilert brought here yesterday?
Yes, the whole of that precious, irreplaceable manuscript. And he went and lost it. He didn't even notice. What about that? Tragic.
Well, why didn't you give it back to him?
Well, I didn't dare to in the state he was in. Well,
didn't you tell any of the others?
Good heavens, no, I didn't want to do that. For Eilert's sake, you understand?
Then no one else knows that you have his manuscript?
No. And no one must be allowed to know.
Didn't it come up in the conversation later?
I didn't get a chance to talk to him anymore. As soon as we got into the outskirts of town, he and one or two of the others gave us a slip. Poof! Disappeared, by Jove.
I suppose they took him home.
Yes, I imagine that was the idea. Brack left us, too.
And what have you been up to since then?
Well, I and one or two of the others, awfully jolly chaps they were. We went back to where one of them lived and had a cup of morning coffee. Or morning after coffee, eh? Oh, well, I'll just lie down for a bit and give Eilert time to sleep it off, poor chap, and then I'll run over and give this back to him.
No, don't do that, not just yet. Let me read it first.
Oh, no, really, Hedda, dear, honestly, I daren't do that.
Daren't?
No, imagine how desperate it'll be when he wakes up and he finds his manuscript's missing. He hasn't any copy, you see. He told me so himself.
Can't a thing like that be rewritten?
Oh, no, not possibly. No, I shouldn't think. I mean, the inspiration, you know?
Oh, yes, I'd forgotten that. By the way, there's a letter for you.
Is there? Fancy that.
There on the table. It came this morning, early.
Oh, I see. It's from Auntie Juju. What on earth can it be? Oh, Hedda. She says poor Auntie Rena's dying.
Well, we've been expecting that.
She says if I want to see her, I must go quickly. I'll run over at once.
Run.
Hedda, dear, I suppose you wouldn't like to come with me. What about that, eh?
No, don't ask me to do anything like that. I can't bear illness or death. I loathe anything ugly.
Yes. Yes, of course. My hat. My overcoat, would you? Oh, yes, in the hall. I do hope I don't get there too late, Hedda. Eh?
You'll be all right if you run.
Judge Bright's outside and wants to know if he can come in.
At this hour, no. I can't possibly receive him.
I can. Ask His Honour to come in.
Yes, madam.
A manuscript, desperate.
Yes, give it to me.
No, I'll look after it for now. I'll put it in the bureau.
Good morning.
Well, you are an early bird.
Yes, aren't I? Are you up and about too?
Yes, I've got to go and see my aunt. Poor Auntie Rena's dying.
Oh, dear, is she? Then you mustn't let me detain you. That's so tragic.
Yes, I really must run. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You seem to have had excellent sport last night, Judge.
Oh, indeed, yes, Mrs. Hedda. I haven't even had time to change my clothes.
You haven't either.
As you see. What's Tessman told you about last night's escapades?
Oh, only some boring story about having gone and drunk coffee somewhere.
Yes, I've heard about that coffee party. Eilert Lövborg wasn't with them, I gather.
No, they took him home first.
Did Tessman go with him?
No, one or two of the others, he said.
George Tessman is a credulous man, Mrs. Hedda.
God knows. But has something happened?
Yes, I'm afraid it has.
I see. Sit down and tell me.
Thank you.
Well?
I had a special reason for keeping track of my guests last night.
or perhaps I should say some of my guests.
Including Eilert Lofborg?
I must confess, yes.
You're beginning to make me curious.
Do you know where he and some of my other guests spent the latter half of last night, Mrs. Hedda?
Tell me, if it won't shock me.
Oh, I don't think it'll shock you. They found themselves participating in an exceedingly animated soiree.
Of a sporting character?
Of a highly sporting character.
Tell me more.
Lofborg had received an invitation in advance, as had the others. I knew all about that, but he had refused. As you know, he's become a new man.
Up at the Elfsteads, yes. But he went.
You see, Mrs. Hedda, last night at my house, unhappily, the spirit moved him.
Yes, I hear he became inspired.
Somewhat violently inspired. As a result, I suppose, his thoughts strayed. We men, alas, don't always stick to our principles as firmly as we should.
Oh, I'm sure you're an exception, Judge Brack. But go on about Lofborg.
Well, to cut a long story short, he ended up in the establishment of a certain Mademoiselle Daniel.
Mademoiselle Daniel?
She was holding the soiree for a selected circle of friends and admirers.
And how did all this end?
Oh, not entirely amicably, from all accounts. Mademoiselle Daniel began by receiving him with the utmost tenderness, and ended by resorting to her fists.
Against Lofborg?
Yes. He accused her or her friends of having robbed him. He claimed his pocketbook had been stolen, among other things. In short, he seems to have made a bloodthirsty scene.
And what did this lead to?
It led to a general free-for-all in which both sexes participated. Fortunately, in the end, the police arrived.
The police, too?
Yes. I'm afraid it may turn out to be rather an expensive joke for Master Eilert. Crazy fool.
Oh?
Apparently he put up a very violent resistance, hit one of the constables in the ear and tore his uniform. He had to accompany them to the police station.
Where did you learn all this?
From the police.
So that's what happened. He didn't have a crown of vine leaves in his hair.
Vine leaves, Mrs. Hedda?
But tell me, Judge, why do you take such a close interest in Eilert Lofborg?
Well, for one thing, it'll hardly be a matter of complete indifference to me if it's revealed in court that he came there straight from my house.
Will it come to court?
Of course. No, I don't regard that as particularly serious. Still, I thought it my duty, as a friend of the family, to give you and your husband a full account of his nocturnal adventures.
Why?
Because I've a shrewd suspicion that he's hoping to use you as a kind of a screen.
What makes you think that?
Oh, for heaven's sake, Mrs. Hedda. You're not blind. Now, you wait and see. This Mrs. Elfsted won't be going back to her husband just yet.
Well, if there were anything between these two, there are plenty of other places where they could meet.
Not in anyone's home. From now on, every respectable house will once again be closed to Eilert Lofborg.
And mine should be too, you mean?
Yes. Well, I confess I should find it more than irksome if this gentleman were to be granted unrestricted access to this house. If he were superfluously to intrude into...
The triangle?
Precisely. For me, it would be like losing a home.
I see. You want to be the cock of the walk.
Yes, that is my aim. And I shall fight for it with every weapon at my disposal.
You're a dangerous man, aren't you? When you really want something.
You think so?
Yes, I'm beginning to think so. I'm deeply thankful that you haven't any kind of hold over me.
Well, well, Mrs. Hedda, perhaps you're right. If I had, who knows what I might not think up.
Come, Judge Brack. That sounds almost like a threat.
Heaven forbid! In the creation of a triangle and its continuance, the question of compulsion should never arise.
Exactly what I was thinking.
I said what I came to say. I must be getting back.
Goodbye, Mrs. Hedda.
Are you going out through the garden?
Yes, it's shorter.
Yes, and it's the back door, isn't it?
Oh, I've nothing against back doors. They can be quite intriguing sometimes.
When people fire pistols out of them, for example.
Oh, people don't shoot tame cocks.
I suppose not. When they've only got one.
Ah.
I must come in. Becky, pass, please.
Well, Mr. Lerfog, this is rather a late hour to be collecting tale.
And an early hour to call on you. Please forgive me.
And how do you know that she's still here?
They told me at her lodging that she's been out all night.
Did you notice anything about their behavior when they told you?
Notice anything?
Did they sound as if they thought it strange?
Oh, I see what you mean. I'm dragging her down with me. No, as a matter of fact, I didn't notice anything. I suppose Tessman isn't up yet.
No, I don't think so.
When did he get home?
Very late.
Did he tell you anything?
Yes, I gather you had a merry party at Judge Brack's last night.
He didn't tell you anything else.
I don't think so. I was so terrible.
Oh, Ava, at last.
Yes, at last. And too late.
What is too late?
Everything. Now, I'm finished here.
Oh, no, don't say that.
You'll see it yourself when you've heard
that I don't want to hear anything. Perhaps you'd rather speak to her alone. I'd better go.
No, stay.
But I don't want to hear anything, I tell you.
It's not about last night.
Then what?
I want to tell you that from now on, we must stop seeing each other.
Stop seeing each other? I knew it.
I have no further use for you, Taya.
No further use for? But surely I can go on helping you. We'll go on working together, won't we?
I don't intend to do any more work from now on.
Then what use have I for my life?
You must try to live as if you had never known me.
But I can't.
Try to tear. Go back home.
Never. I want to be wherever you are. I won't let myself be driven away like this. I want to stay here and be with you when the book comes out.
Ah, yes. The book.
Our book. Tears and mine. It belongs to both of us.
Oh, yes, I feel that too. And I have a right to be with you when it comes into the world. I want to see people respect and honor you again. And the joy, I want to share it with you.
Tia, our book will never come into the world.
No?
It cannot. Ever.
Ayla, what have you done with the manuscript?
Yes, the manuscript.
Where is it?
Oh, Taya, please don't ask me that.
Yes, yes, I must know. I've a right to know. Now.
The manuscript. Yes. I've torn it up.
No. No. But that's not...
Not true, you think?
Well, yes, of course it is, if you say so. It sounded so incredible.
It's true. Nevertheless.
Oh, my God. My God, Hedda. He's destroyed his own...
I have destroyed my life. Why not my life's work, too?
And you did this last night?
Yes, dear. I tore it into 1,000 pieces and scattered them out across the fjord. It's good, clean salt water. Let it carry them away. Let them drift in the current and the wind, and in a little while, they will sink. Deeper and deeper, as I shall tell you.
Do you know, Eilert, this book, all my life, I shall feel as though you'd killed a little child.
It is like killing a child.
But how could you? It was my child, too.
Oh, child.
It's all over, then. Well, I'll go now, Hedda.
You're not leaving town.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't see anything except darkness.
Aren't you going to escort her home, Mr. Lerthwaite?
Me? Through the streets? Do you want me to let people see her with me?
Of course, I don't know what else may have happened last night, but is it so utterly beyond redress?
Oh, it isn't just last night. It'll go on happening, I know it. But the curse of it is, I don't want to live that kind of life. I don't want to start all that again. She's broken my courage. I can't spit in the eyes of the world any longer.
But how could you be so heartless towards her?
Don't call me heartless!
To go and destroy the one thing that's made her life worth living? You don't call that heartless?
Do you want to know the truth, Hedda?
The truth?
Promise me first. Give me your word that you'll never let Taya know about this.
I give you my word.
Good. Well, what I told her just now was a lie.
About the manuscript?
Yes. I didn't tear it up or throw it into the fjord.
You didn't. But where is it then?
I destroyed it all the same. I destroyed it.
I don't understand.
Taya said what I had done was like killing a child.
Yes, that's what she said.
But to kill a child isn't the worst thing a father can do to it.
What could be worse than that?
Hedda, suppose a man came home one morning after a night of debauchery and said to the mother of his child, "Look here, I've been wandering round all night. I've been to such and such a place and such and such a place, and I had our child with me. I took him to these places, and I've lost him. Just lost him. God knows where he is or whose hands he's fallen into."
I see. But when all's said and done, this was only a book.
Taya's heart and soul were in that book. It was her whole life.
Yes, I understand.
Well, then you must also understand that she and I cannot possibly ever see each other again.
Where will you go?
Nowhere. I just want to put an end to it all as soon as possible.
Ellen Lerthwaite, listen to me. Do it beautifully.
Beautifully? With a crown of vine leaves in my hair, the way you used to dream of me in the old days?
No. I don't believe in that crown any longer. But do it beautifully, all the same. Just this once. Goodbye. You must go now. And don't come back.
Adieu, madame. Give my love to George Tesman.
Wait! I want to give you a souvenir to take with you.
The pistol? Is this a souvenir?
Yes. It's one of a pair. You recognize it? You look down its barrel once.
You should have used it then.
Here. Use it now.
Thank you.
Do it beautifully, Eilert Lerthwaite. Only promise me that.
Goodbye, Hedda Gabler.
I'm burning your child, Taya. You with your beautiful, wavy hair. The child Eilert Lerthwaite gave you. I'm burning
fire.
Well, Hedda, dear,
here I am, wearing the weeds of sorrow. My poor sister has ended her struggles at last.
I've already heard. Tessman sent me a card.
Yes, he promised me he would. But I thought, no, I must go and break the news of death to Hedda myself, here in this house of life.
It's very kind of you.
Rena shouldn't have chosen a time like this to pass away. This is no moment for Hedda's house to be a place of mourning.
She died peacefully, Miss Tessman.
Oh, it was quite beautiful. The end came so calmly. And she was so happy to be able to see George once again and say goodbye to him. Hasn't he come home yet?
No, he wrote that I mustn't expect him too soon. But please, sit down.
No, thank you, Hedda, dear, bless you. I'd like to, but I've so little time. I must dress her and lay her out as well as I can. She shall go to her grave looking really beautiful.
Can't I help with anything?
Why, you mustn't think of such a thing. Hedda Tessman mustn't let her hands be soiled by contact with death.
Or her thoughts.
Not at this time.
Well, one can't always control one's thoughts.
Oh, well, that's life. Now we must start to sew poor Rena's shroud. And there'll be sewing to be done in this house, too, before long, I shouldn't wonder. But not for a shroud, praise God.
You've come at last, thank heavens.
Oh, are you here, Auntie Judy, with Hedda? Fancy that.
I was just on the point of leaving, dear boy. Well, have you done everything you promised me?
No, I'm afraid I forgot the half of it. I'll have to run over again tomorrow. My head's in a complete whirl today. I can't collect my thoughts.
But, George, dear, you mustn't take it like this.
Oh? Well, how should I?
You must be happy in your grief, happy for what's happened as I am.
Oh, yes, yes. You're thinking of Auntie Rena.
It will be lonely for you now, Miss Tessman.
For the first few days, yes. But it won't last long, I hope. Poor dear Rena's little room isn't going to stay empty.
Oh? Who are you going to move in there? Eh?
Oh, there's always some poor invalid who needs care and attention.
Do you really want another cross like that to bear?
Cross? Oh, God forgive you, child. It's been no cross for me.
But now, if a complete stranger comes to live with you.
Oh, one soon makes friends with invalids. And I need so much to have someone to live for, like you, my dear. Well, I expect there'll soon be work in this house, too, for an old auntie, praise God.
Oh, please.
Oh, my word, yes. What a splendid time the three of us could have together if... Oh, never mind. It'll all work out. Let's hope so, eh?
Yes. Yes, well, I'm sure you two would like to be alone. Perhaps Hedda may have something to tell you, George. Goodbye. I must go home to Rena. Oh, dear God, how strange. Now Rena is with me, and with poor dear Joachim.
Oh, why, yes, yes, Auntie.
Well, goodbye, hey. Dear boy.
Goodbye, Miss.
Goodbye.
I really believe this death distresses you more than it does her.
Oh, it isn't just Auntie Rena. It's Aylert I'm so worried about.
Is there any news of him?
I ran over to see him this afternoon. I wanted to tell him his manuscript was in safe hands.
Oh, you didn't find him?
No. He wasn't at home. But later I met Mrs. Elfstead, and she told me he'd been here early this morning.
Yes, just after you'd left.
It seems he said he'd torn the manuscript up. Eh?
Yes, he claimed to have done so.
You told him we had it, of course.
No. Did you tell Mrs. Elfstead?
No, I didn't like to, but you ought to have told him. Think if he should go home and do something desperate. Give me the manuscript, Hedda. I'll run over with it right away. Where did you put it?
I haven't got it any longer.
You haven't got it? What on earth do you mean?
I've burnt it.
Burnt it? Burnt Aylert's manuscript?
Shout. Servant will hear you.
Burnt it, but in heaven's name, oh... Oh, no, 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 this is impossible.
Well, it's true.
But, Hedda, do you realize what you've done? That's appropriating lost property. It's against the law, by God. You ask Judge Brack and you see if I'm not right.
You'd be well advised not to talk about it to Judge Brack or to anyone else.
But how could you go and do such a dreadful thing? What on earth put the idea into your head? What came over you? Answer me, eh?
did it for your sake, George.
For my sake?
When you came home this morning and described how he'd read his book to you.
Yes, yes.
You admitted you were jealous of him.
Oh, but good heavens, I didn't mean it literally.
No matter, I couldn't bear the thought that anyone else should push you into the background.
Oh, Hedda. Is this true? But I never realized you loved me like that. Fancy that.
Well, I suppose you'd better know now. I'm going to have a... No. You'd better ask your Auntie Juju. She'll tell you.
Hedda, I think I understand what you mean. Oh, good heavens. Can it really be true? Eh?
Don't shout. The servant will hear you.
But the servant? Oh, I say that is good. The servant? Well, that's Berta. I'll run out and tell her at once.
Destroy me.
I say, Hedda, what's up, eh?
Oh, it's all so absurd, George.
Absurd? That I'm so happy. Oh, but surely the... Oh, well. Perhaps I won't say anything to Berta.
No, do... She might as well know, too.
No, I won't tell her yet, but Auntie Juju, I must let her know. And you? You called me George. For the first time. Fancy that. Oh, it'll make Auntie Juju so happy, all this. So very happy.
Will she be happy when she hears that I've burnt Eilert Lefborg's manuscript? For your sake.
No, I'd forgotten about that. Of course, no one must be allowed to know about the manuscript. But that you're burning with love for me, Hedda. I must certainly let Auntie Juju know that. Oh, I say, I wonder if young wives often feel like that towards their husbands. Eh?
You might ask Auntie Juju about that, too.
Oh, I will as soon as I get the chance. Oh, but dear, you know, that manuscript... Dreadful business. Poor Eilert.
Oh, Hedda, dear, do please forgive me for coming here again.
Why, Taylor, what's happened?
Is it to do with Eilert Lovberg? What?
Yes, I'm so dreadfully afraid he may have met with an accident.
You think so?
Oh, but good heavens, Mrs. Elfstead, what makes you think that?
I heard them talking about him at the boarding house as I went in. Oh, there are the most terrible rumours being spread about him in town today.
Ah, yes, I heard about them too, but I can testify that he went straight home to bed. Fancy.
Well, what did they say in the boarding house?
Oh, I couldn't find out anything. Either they didn't know or else they stopped talking when they saw me. And I didn't dare to ask.
We must hope. We must hope you misheard them, Mrs. Elfstead.
No, I'm sure it was him they were talking about. I heard them say something about a hospital.
Hospital?
Oh, no, surely that's impossible.
Oh, I became so afraid, so... I went up to his rooms and asked to see him.
Do you think that was wise, Taylor?
Oh, what else could I do? I couldn't bear the uncertainty any longer.
But you didn't manage to find him either, eh?
No, and they'd no idea where he was. They said he hadn't been home since yesterday afternoon.
Since yesterday? Fancy that.
Oh, I'm sure he must have met with an accident.
Hedda, I wonder if I ought to go into town and make one or two inquiries.
No, don't you get mixed up in this.
Tessman.
Oh, hello, my dear judge. Fancy seeing you.
I had to come and talk to you.
I can see Auntie Juju's told you the news.
Yes, I've heard about that too.
Tragic, isn't it?
Well, dear chap, that depends on how you look at it.
Has something else happened?
Yes.
Another tragedy.
That also depends on how you look at it, Mrs. Tessman.
Oh, it's something to do with Eilert Lovberg.
How did you guess? Perhaps you've heard already.
No, not at all.
Oh, for heaven's sake, tell us.
Well, I'm afraid they've taken him to hospital. He's dying.
Oh, God.
The hospital? Dying?
So quickly.
Oh, and we parted enemies, dear.
Thea.
I must see him. I must see him before he dies.
No, it's no use, Mrs. Elstead. No one's allowed to see him now.
What's happened to him? Oh, you must tell me.
He hasn't tried to do anything to himself, eh?
Yes, he has. I'm sure of it.
Now, how can you...
I'm afraid you guessed correctly, Mrs. Tesman.
Oh, how dreadful.
Attempted suicide? Fancy that.
Shot himself.
Right again, Mrs. Tesman.
When did this happen, Judge Brack?
This afternoon, between 3 and 4.
Oh, but good heavens, where? Eh?
Where? No, my dear chap, in his rooms, of course.
Oh, that's impossible. I was there soon after 6.
Well, it must have been somewhere else then. I don't know exactly. I only know that they found him. He shot himself through the breast.
Oh, how horrible. That he should end like that.
Through the breast, you said.
That is what I said.
Not through the head.
Through the breast, Mrs. Tesman.
The breast? Yes. Yes, that's good, too.
Why, Mrs. Tesman?
Oh, nothing. No, I didn't mean anything.
And the wound's dangerous, you say, eh?
Mortal. He's probably already dead.
Yes. Yes, I feel it. It's all over. All over. Oh, Hannah. Oh,
but tell me, how did you manage to learn all this?
From the police. I spoke to one of them.
Thank God. At last.
For God's sake, Hedda, what are you saying?
I am saying that there is beauty in what he has done.
Beauty?
Hedda, how can you talk of beauty in connection with a thing like this?
Eilert Lofborg has settled his account with life. He's had the courage to do what he had to do.
No, that's not why it happened. He did it because he was mad.
He did it because he was desperate.
You're wrong. I know.
He must have been mad. The same as when he tore up the manuscript.
Manuscript? Did he tear it up?
Yes, last night.
Oh, Hedda, we shall never be able to escape from this.
Ah, strange.
To think of Eilert dying like that, and not leaving behind him the thing that would have made his name endure.
If only it could be pieced together again.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, if only it could. I'd give anything.
Perhaps it can, Mr. Tesman.
What do you mean?
I kept the notes he dictated it from.
You kept them, Mrs. Elstead, eh?
Yes, here they are. I brought them with me when I left home.
Let me have a look.
They're in a terrible muddle. It all mixed up.
I say, just fancy if we could sort them out. I mean, perhaps if we work on them together.
Oh, yes. Well, let's try, anyway.
We'll manage it. We must. I shall dedicate my life to this.
You, George. Your life.
Yes, well, all the time I can spare. My book will have to wait, Hedda. Hedda, do you understand? I owe it to Eilert's memory.
Perhaps.
Well, my dear Mrs. Elstead, you and I will have to pull our brains. No use crying over spilt milk, eh? We must try to approach this matter calmly.
Yes, yes, Mr. Tesman. I'll do my best.
Well, come over here and let's start looking at these notes right away. Where shall we sit? Here? No, the other room. Excuse me, won't you, Judge? Come along with me, please. But Elsa.
Oh, God. If only we can manage to do it.
Oh, Judge. This act of Eilert Lofborg's, doesn't it give one a sense of release?
Release, Mrs. Hedda? Well, it's a release for him, of course.
Oh, I don't mean him, I mean me. The release of knowing that someone can do something really brave, something beautiful.
Huh. My dear Mrs. Hedda.
Oh, I know what you're going to say. You're a bourgeois at heart, too, just like... Ah, well.
Eilert Lofborg has meant more to you than you're willing to admit to yourself. Or am I wrong?
I'm not answering questions like that from you. I only know that Eilert Lofborg has had the courage to live according to his own principles. And now at last he's done something fine. Something beautiful. To have the courage and the will to rise from the feast of life so early.
It distresses me deeply, Mrs. Hedda, but I'm afraid I must rob you of that charming illusion.
Illusion?
You wouldn't have been allowed to keep it for long anyway.
What do you mean?
He didn't
shoot himself on purpose.
Not on purpose?
No, it didn't happen quite the way that I told you.
Have you been hiding something? What is it?
In order to spare poor Mrs. Elfstead's feelings, I permitted myself one or two small equivocations.
What?
And to begin with, he is already dead.
He died at the hospital?
Yes, without regaining consciousness.
What else haven't you told me?
The incident didn't take place at his lodgings.
Well, that's utterly unimportant.
Not utterly. The fact is, you see, that Eilert Löfborg was found shot in Mademoiselle Danielle's boudoir.
It's impossible. He can't have been there today.
He was there this afternoon. He went to ask for something he claimed they'd taken from him. Talked of some crazy nonsense about a child which had got lost.
Oh, so that was the reason.
I thought at first he might have been referring to his manuscript, but I hear he destroyed that himself. So he must have meant his pocketbook, I suppose.
Yes, I suppose so. So they found him there?
Yes, there, with a discharged pistol in his breast pocket. The shot had wounded him mortally.
Yes, in the breast?
No, in the stomach. Lower part.
That, too. Oh. Why does everything I touch become mean and ludicrous? It's like a curse.
There's something else, Mrs. Hedda. It's rather disagreeable, too.
What?
The pistol he had on him.
Yes, what about it?
He must have stolen it.
Stolen it? That isn't true, he didn't.
It's the only explanation. He must have stolen it.
Hedda!
Shh!
Hedda, I can't see properly under the lamp in the other room, do you think?
I am thinking.
Do you think we could possibly use your writing table for a little, eh?
Yes, of course. No, wait. Let me tidy it up first.
Oh, don't you trouble about that. There's plenty of room.
No, let me tidy it up first, I say. I'll take these and put them on the piano in the other room. Well.
Yes.
My pretty Thea. And how is work progressing on Eilert Löfborg's memorial?
Oh, it's going to be terribly difficult to get these papers into any order.
We've got to do it. We must. After all, putting other people's papers into order is rather my speciality, eh?
What was that you were saying about the pistol?
I said he must have stolen it.
Why do you think that?
Because any other explanation is unthinkable, Mrs. Hedda. Or ought to be.
I see.
Eilert Löfborg was here this morning, wasn't he?
Yes.
Were you alone with him?
For a few moments.
You didn't leave the room while he was here?
No.
Think again. Are you sure you didn't go out for a moment?
Yes. I might have gone into the hall just for a few seconds.
And where was your pistol case during this time?
I'd locked it in that...
Mrs. Hedda...
It was lying over there on my writing table.
Have you looked to see if both the pistols are still there?
No.
No, you needn't bother. I saw the pistol Löfberg had when he found them. I recognized it at once, from yesterday and other occasions.
Have you got it?
No. The police have it.
What will the police do with this pistol?
Try to trace the owner.
Do you think they'll succeed?
No, Hedda Gabler. Not as long as I hold my tongue.
And if you don't?
You could always say he'd stolen it.
I'd rather die.
Huh. People say that. They never do it.
And suppose the pistol wasn't stolen?
and they trace the owner. What then?
There'll be a scandal, Hedda.
Scandal?
Yes, a scandal. The thing you're so frightened of. You'll have to appear in court together with Mademoiselle Danielle. She'll have to explain how it all happened. Was it an accident, or was it homicide? Was he about to take the pistol from his pocket to threaten her? And did it go off? Or did she snatch the pistol from his hand, shoot him, and then put it back in his pocket? She might quite easily have done it. She's a very resourceful lady, is Mademoiselle Danielle.
But I have nothing to do with this repulsive business.
No, but you'll have to answer one question. Why did you give Eilert Löfborg this pistol? And what conclusions will people draw when it's proved you did give it to him?
That's true. I hadn't thought of that.
Well, luckily, there's no danger as long as I hold my tongue.
In other words, I'm in your power, Judge. From now on, you've got your hold over me.
Hedda, my dearest, believe me. I will not abuse my position.
Nevertheless, I'm in your power. Dependent on your will. Your demands. Not free. Still not free.
No. I couldn't bear that. No.
Most people resign themselves to the inevitable sooner or later.
Possibly they do. Well, George, think you'll be able to manage?
Eh? Heaven knows, dear. This is going to take months and months.
Fancy that, by Jove. Doesn't it feel strange, Tia? Here you are, working away with Tessman. Just the way you used to work with Eilert Löfborg.
Oh, if only I can inspire your husband, too.
Oh, it'll come. In time.
Yes, you know, Hedda, I really think I'm beginning to feel a bit... well, that way... But you go back and talk to Judge Brack.
Can't I be of use to either of you in any way?
No, none at all. You'll have to keep Hedda company from now on, Judge. See she doesn't get bored, if you don't mind.
It'll be a pleasure.
Thank you. But I'm tired this evening. I think I'll lie down on the sofa in the other room for a little while.
Yes, dear, do. Eh?
Oh.
Hedda, dear, please, don't play dance music tonight. Think of Auntie Rena and Ayla.
And Auntie Juju and all the rest of them. From now on, I'll be quiet.
It distresses her to watch us doing this.
Same as yourself, so I have an idea. Why don't you move in with Auntie Juju? I'll run over each evening and we can sit and work there, eh?
Yes, that might be the best plan.
I can hear what you're saying, Tessman. But how shall I spend the evenings out here?
Oh, I'm sure Judge Brack will be kind enough to come over and keep you company. You won't mind my not being here, Judge?
I'll be delighted, Mrs. Tessman. I'll be here every evening. We'll have great fun together, you and I.
Yes. That'll suit you, won't it, Judge? The only cock on the dunghill.
Oh, she's playing with these pistols again. She shot herself. Shot herself in the head. Fancy that.
But... good God. People don't do such things.
Hannah Gordon played Hedda, Bill Patterson, Tessman, Bill Simpson, Judge Brack, and Peter Kelly, Eilert Löfborg, in Michael Mayer's translation of Hedda Gabler by Henrik Ibsen. Mrs. Elvsted was played by Sandra Clark, Aunt Juju by Gudrun Muir, and Berta by Molly Weir. The play was directed by John Tideman.